Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Ayin Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the top line of Daf Ayin Vav. Let me point out at the outset, as we begin this shiur, it may be that we'll be including Daf Ayin Zayin as well. The reasons for that will become apparent when we get there. That is at least as things appear at the beginning of this shiur. We open with a quote from the Mishnah Adaf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, where it said, Gonav Vehikdish, a person stole, then sanctified the stolen animal. The thief sanctified the chulin animal that he stole. V'achar kach tovach u'mochar, and after sanctifying, he then slaughtered it or sold it. The Mishnah said, Mishalim Kefil Ve'enu Mishalim Tishlumi Dalet Vehei. He pays the double for the theft, but the additional payments that add up to either 4 or 5 times, that he doesn't pay. Apparently, he is not paying that because of the sanctification that took place in the interim. On the side of the Gemara, we should, by the way, note that this Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalet Beis is in contrast to the Mishnah that was on Daf Ayin, that had a case of Gonav Tovach U'Mochar V'Achar Kach Hikdish. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, which reads, She'ela, we're going to raise a question, Al Hodikotoni Gonav V'Hikdish V'Achar Kach Tovach. The Mishnah had said that if he stole, then sanctified, and afterwards slaughtered, Chayev Kefel V'Enu Chayev Dalet V'Hei, is Chayev double, but not the additional payments. Loma eino chayav al kach shehikdish habehema. Why do we not consider him guilty of paying the additional payments beyond the kefel, beyond the double amount, for his having sanctified the animal? Imagine he stole and then sanctified. What is the law, for example, if he stole and sold the animal? Well, of course, he would pay 4 or 5, depending, 4 times for the for the sheep that he stole, or 5 times for the ox. Mali mochroi lehedyo, mali mochro l'shamayim. What difference does it make whether he sold it to a commoner, which would obligate him to the multiple payments, 4 or 5, as opposed to selling it to Shamayim, selling it to heaven by sanctifying it? So can we not say that sanctification is like selling it? And yet the Mishnah says no. We will open the Gemara itself with a geometric form. You'll notice an alternating positioning of the volcano shape, trapezoid. On the side of the Gemara, our Mivneh, our structural note, we indicate that this begins a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take structure, with the narrow part facing upwards. They represent kushios, questions, and the inverted volcanoes represent Chuo's responses. So in the Gemara, Amri, we state, Bishlamo ativicha lo mechayev. I understand that for having slaughtered the animal described in the Mishnah, where he had stolen and then sanctified an animal, and then slaughtered it. The slaughtering there is not going to cause the additional 4 or 5 payment, the chikotovach, because when he was slaughtering, the hegdish kotovach, velo demore kotovach, he was slaughtering a holy animal and not the owner's animal, i.e. the animal that he stole. Once it's sanctified, it no longer is considered the owner's. Once it's sanctified, it becomes prohibited to benefit from it. Now, let us take a look at Rashi at the top. Ki kotovach, the hegdish kotovach, This is a very important addition that Rashi is reminding us of. At the point that he is slaughtering it, the original owner has given up hope. If the Mishnah was speaking about a point in time prior to the original owner giving up hope, even the sanctification would not be a sanctification. Since the original owner gave up hope on seeing his animal back, Kanya Hegdish B'yeush V'shinu Rishus. Hegdish acquires it through the owner giving up hope and the transfer of domain, i.e. into the domain of Hegdish. Hilkoch Lav Demore Kotovach. Therefore, it's not a case of his slaughtering the owner's animal. The Torah says Utavacho, and you slaughtered it, i.e. the owner's animal. That would be true in a case where he simply stole and slaughtered. So you have a theft, but you don't have a transfer of domain from the thief to some other domain. But here you have that. You've got the Yeush we mentioned and Shinu Rishus. Therefore, we can say that when the slaughtering is taking place, it's a slaughtering of Hegdish's animal, not the owner's animal. Therefore, you're not chayev the additional payments leading to 4 or 5 for the slaughtering. Our Gemara, though, is asking about the sanctification itself. Let him be obligated to pay for the sanctification based on the idea of Mali Mochro Lehedyo. Mali Mochro Lo Shamayim. What difference does it make whether he had sold it to a commoner, sold the stolen animal to a commoner, which results in the 4 or 5, and selling it to Shamayim through Hegdish, through sanctification? The Gemara answers, Ha Moni, the Mishnah is according to whom? Rabbi Shimon he. The Omar, Rabbi Shimon holds, Kodshim Shechayev Bachriyuson Birshusei Demore Kaimi. Sanctified animals that you are responsible for. Chayev Bachriyuson means if anything happens to the animal, so you have to make good on it. So Birshusei Demore Kaimi, that means it remains in the Rishus, in the domain of the original owner. So that, let us say that the thief sanctified the animal as in using the expression Hare Olai, it is upon me to bring such and such an animal. By saying it is upon me, you're accepting responsibility for whatever happens to the animal. And as a result, it hasn't left your domain because you bear responsibility. So if the suggestion was, let us consider the sanctification a transfer of domain, not true. Let's look at Rashi together on where we left off, four lines from the top. Rabbi Shimon he, the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon Kagon Diomar, Shomar, where for the example being he said, Hare Olai Oila, it is upon me to bring a burnt offering. Vehifrish Gine Vazula Nidro, and he set aside this animal that he stole through which to fulfill his vow. The Kevon de Chayav Bachriyu, so since he is obligated to make good if anything happens to it. Achriuso literally means he bears responsibility. And Rashi adds, V'dover ha-gerim l'mamon hu, being such, even though the animal itself is prohibited to benefit from, once you sanctified it, nevertheless, it can cause you to pay money, to pay out money. In what sense? If anything does happen to the animal, you have to compensate for that. And that's called Dover HaGerm L'Momon K'Momon Domi. It's considered as if it has value. Even though, as we said, the animal currently is something that you cannot benefit from. You sanctified it. V'Lav Mechirahi. And as a result of this, that you continue to bear responsibility for it, it's not considered by having sanctified it a sale. Omiyu L'Inyan T'Vicha Potter. However, regarding the slaughtering, there is no obligation. The afagav the brishus ganav kaima dim of the chayav bachriyusam lehegdish, even though it's considered in the domain of the thief, with regard to if it gets lost, so you have to compensate. Nevertheless, chalalei mi oshem hegdish, the title of being sanctified does take hold, lafuke mishus mora kama, and that is enough to remove it from the domain of the original owner. We mentioned before the original owner had given up hope, and now the sanctification is a transfer of domain. V'lav demora kotovach, and as a result, it's not considered that you're slaughtering the owner's animal anymore. And in order, I know we've mentioned this before, but in order to be chayev for tvicha, the pasuk says utvacho, and you're slaughtering it, means an animal owned completely by the victim of the theft. We turn back to the Gemara, the next volcano shape facing upwards. Ha mi de seifa Rabbi Shimon havi reisha lav Rabbi Shimon, from the fact that the conclusion of the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon, the beginning of the Mishnah where we're focusing on now is not Rabbi Shimon. So the answer that you gave, why is there no chiyuv, no obligation for the actual act of sanctification, and explaining it because it's based on Rabbi Shimon, that can't be. Rabbi Shimon makes his appearance, but at the end of the Mishnah. Ela hocha b'may askinon, the Mishnah that says there is no 4 or 5 obligation for the sanctification itself. B'kotshim kalim, the thief sanctified it as a type of sacrifice that we call a light level sanctity, a lower level sanctity. V'aliba the Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and the opinion that's accepted here is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Omar Kotshim Kalim Moment Bailumhu Ubirshusei Kaimi. Kotshim Kalim, low level sanctity sacrifices, like if you sanctified it as a peace offering, as a shlomim, it's considered the owner, it's considered the Moment Bailim, the owners, in this case the thief's own animal, and it hasn't then left Birshusei Kaimi, it remains in his domain. Though it's sanctified, it's not considered a transfer into the realm of Hegdish, of sanctity. We proceed now with a question. As you can see, the volcano shape, narrow part, facing upwards, but we also have a long question marking. So you just said that the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because it's featuring the sanctification of a light-level sacrifice. Avol kotche kotchimai, what would you say then if the thief sanctified it as a high-level sanctity offering? For example, a korban ola, a burnt offering. Mishalem tashlumei dalin v'chamisha. Are you then suggesting that the payment, because of the act of Hegdish, sanctification, it's considered a sale, and he would pay the multiple payments? If that be the case, Adetoni Reisha, instead of the Reisha on Daf Ayin Omer Aleph, the beginning part of the Mishnah, which it extends over several Dapim of Gemara, but it began on Daf Ayin, we made reference at the opening of our shir to the section of the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. But the beginning, which was found on Daf Ayin, said, Gonav v'tovach v'achar kach hikdish mishalem tashlume dalet v'hei. In order to feature a case of 4 or 5, which also had within it sanctification, we came on to the case of the slaughtering taking place before the sanctification, which leads us to believe that only then will you have 4 or 5, when the order is first slaughtering, then sanctification. However, according to what you said in your last answer, that if the slaughtering, if the sanctification had been of koche kochim, I would have been able to see a case of 4 or 5, even when sanctification is before the slaughtering. Lifloig velisni bedida, state your distinction, your differentiation within the scenario, like you see in the seifa of Gonav and Hikdish, as follows: Bamedvor mamurim, when is there an exemption from 4 or 5? Bekotchim Kalim, where the sanctification was of a light level sanctity. Avol Bekotche Kotchim, where the sanctification is of a high level sanctity. Mishalim Tashlume Arba B'chamisha. You would have been charged the 4 or 5 for the act of sanctification. being that Kotche Kotchim is not Momon Bailim, it's considered exclusively Momon, the money, the possession, the property of Hegdish Shamayim, Govoa, let that be the sale. As I'm sure those who have learned many Dapim of Gemara, you know that when Mishnayos want to teach you a contrast, the optimal type of contrast is where the contrast is within the same topic, within a similar scenario. And that's what we're suggesting in the question, that if the sanctification to a high-level sanctity constitutes a sale, you could have given me contrasting cases which have first Geneva followed immediately by sanctification. Why did the Mishnah and the Reisha, in order to include a case of sanctification and have 4 or 5 where the slaughtering took place before the sanctification? We continue. Ela li oilom lo shno kotche kotchim ve lo shno kotchim kalim. Really, there is no difference between low level and high level sanctification. You're not going to be chayev for the 4 or 5 for the act of sanctification. Udakashi aloch, you'll ask, why should you not be chayev the 4 or 5 for sanctification? Mali mochro lehedyot, mali mochro leshamayim. The issue we mentioned before. Why should there be a difference between selling it to another commoner where there is a 4 or 5 payment versus selling it, i.e. sanctifying it, to heaven where there's no 4 or 5 payment? So the answer is, mochro lehedyot, when you sell it to a commoner, meikora turo deruvein vahashta turo deshimon, it starts off as being owned by Ruvain, and then through the sale, it's considered the tura is the ox of Shimon. So there's a real transfer of domain. Machro l'shamayim, however, where the thief stole the animal, and for argument's sake, we'll call the thief by the name Reuven. He then sanctifies the animal as his own sacrifice that he will bring to the Beis Hamikdash. So in a case like that, meikora turo duvein, it starts off as Reuven's ox, vahashto turo duvein, and it remains Reuven's ox. So the act of sanctification does not reflect a transfer of domain. The Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalid Omid Beis is quoted now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, and in that quote we saw if the sacrifice is Chayev Bachrius, Mishalim Dalid Behei, that's the type of sacrifice that you have to bear responsibility for, then you're chayev 4 or 5, and if not, so you would be exempt. So that Rabbi Shimon is saying, like we saw before, the differentiation, the comparison between mochro lehedyot, mochro lehegdish, that if you sold it to a commoner, a hedyot, you have to pay 4 or 5. So for sanctification also, if it's a type of animal that you bear responsibility for, you will have to pay 4 or 5 as well for the sanctification, being similar to an act of sale, which obligates the 4 or 5 payment. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading which reads, Biur Shitas Rabbi Shimon, an attempt to clarify Rabbi Shimon's opinion by Mishnah. It appeared in the Mishnah, the akotchim shechayev achriuson chayev dalet vehei, that for those kind of sacrifices that you bear responsibility for, and that happens when the initial sanctification was using the term hare olai, it is upon me, meaning the responsibility for the animal is upon me if anything should happen to it. So now we turn to the Gemara. Amri, we raise, in a sense, we're going to be raising a question. Nehi desofa Rabbi Shimon, granted that Rabbi Shimon holds Mali Mochro Lehedyot, Mali Mochro Loshamayim, the just like a sale to a commoner results in the four or five payments, so too the act of sanctification is considered like a sale, obligating him to four or five. However, ipcha mi boyale, Rabbi Shimon should have said ipcha means the opposite, as follows. Kotshim shechayav bachriuson potter. Sacrifices that you bear responsibility for, the sanctification there would not be obligatory of four or five. You'd be exempt, potter, you would be exempt. Dakati lo nofak mishusei, it still hasn't left your domain. As long as you bear responsibility, it's considered as if it's still attached to you. It hasn't left your domain like it would in a sale. Kotshim she'eno chayav bachriuson, those kind of sacrifices, or I should say that type of acceptance of vow where you do not accept responsibility. For example, if you say Hare Zu Ola, if you specify an animal and declare I want it to be whatever kind of sacrifice, an Ola, Shlomim, whatever, but you didn't say Ola, you didn't say upon me, so you're not accepting responsibility. And for sanctification like that, chayav, there you should be considered as if having conducted a sale to heaven. The mafki le mirshusei, you're removing it from your domain. If you don't bear responsibility, you don't have any strings attached to it anymore. It's complete out of your domain. That would be like a sale. And yet, Rabbi Shimon didn't say that. So the Gemara answers, Amri, Rabbi Shimon al milso achriti koi v'hachi kotoni. Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah is actually referring to something entirely different. The frame that you see will introduce what the Mishnah will say should have said, or how the Mishnah should be understood by adding a couple phrases, a couple words, will understand what Rabbi Shimon was a reaction to. Before we learn the Gemara itself, and we do this from time to time, we learn the Rashi by way to serve as an introduction to the Gemara. Even though what we see in the Rashi will in effect see in the Gemara itself. First, the Rashi, three lines before they start to widen. Amilso achriti koi, dehecho de'aktish ganov, where the thief himself does the sanctification, namely he stole a common animal and then sanctified it, bein l'neder bein l'nedava, whether it be a neder, a vow, which is a situation of accepting responsibility, bein l'nedava, that's a type of, bequest to the Beis HaMikdash, where you do not accept responsibility. Lo mechayev le Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon does not hold you responsible to pay to pay the 4 or 5. Lav ashaito dehekdish. You're not responsible for the moment of sanctification. Mishum dadayin shmoy olav, the name of the owner, in this case the thief, is still upon it. Nidvosu shoploni, it's so-and-so's bequest. Falava tvicha, nor would there be 4 or 5 for the slaughtering. Domir shus more kamanofak, he's slaughtering an animal that's already departed the original owner's domain through his sanctification, and it's not called utavacho, the word in the Torah indicating the penalty for slaughtering someone else's animals, or the owner's animal, but it's not the owner's, original owner's anymore. So Rabbi Shimon, in a case of an animal that was stolen by the thief and then sanctified by the thief, there's no 4 or 5, not for the sanctification, nor for the slaughtering, as Rashi just explained. Ela, where does Rabbi Shimon come into the picture? Agoinev hekdish shekdishu bailum koi, where the thief stole an animal that had already been sanctified by the original owner. The cave on the chayav bailam bachrayas, since the original owner bears responsibility, ki kotovach, when the slaughtering takes place, demore kotovach, the original owner had sanctified an animal as a sacrifice that he, the original owner, bears responsibility for. So if anything happens to that animal, that original owner is going to have to make good on it. So that when the slaughtering by the thief takes place, demore ka tovach, he's slaughtering, in fact, an animal that we view as still owned by the original owner. Don't forget, that original owner is going to have to make good on the loss of this sacrifice. Though the owner sanctified it, and it became prohibited for the original owner to even benefit from it, it's nevertheless goring the moment. An example, or I should say a concept we've seen numerous times recently, its loss causes him to have to pay out. So even though he can't benefit from it, from the animal itself, it's still considered something of value to him. As long as it is around, he doesn't have to pay out additional money. If anything happens to it, he does have to pay out additional money. So where does Reb Shimon say that 4 or 5 will come into the picture? As we saw in the Mishnah, it's Koshim Shechayev Bachar Yusan, where the original owner bears responsibility for it. Now, we turn back to the Gemara, and hopefully this will be clear. We mentioned, right before the framed section, we go back to the Gemara text, Rabbi Shimon Amil Sachriti Koi V'Achi Katani, Rabbi Shimon is referring to a different case, something else, and it says, his teaching is as follows. Ein ha-guinev achar ha-ganav mishalim tashlume daled vehe. A thief that steals from a thief doesn't pay the multiple payments. V'chein ha-guinev hektish mi-beis bailim potter. Likewise, someone who steals an already sanctified animal from the home of the owner, potter, the thief is exempt. Now in the brackets you have the Gemara explanation for what the Tanaic source would be teaching, but there's no need to skip. Just be aware that this is we'll say a Gemara insert. My time, why is there innocence, and there's no multiple payments for having stolen an already sanctified animal? V'gunav mi-beis ha'ish v'lo mi-beis hegdish. The Torah speaks about theft of something from the owner's property, or the owner's home, owner's possession, not the theft of something that is Beis Hegdish, owned by the Beis Hamikdash, by the Holy Fund. So the stealing of an already sanctified animal cannot lead, according to the first opinion, to the multiple 4 or 5 payment. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Kachim, things that were sanctified by the owner, Shechai Bach Riusim, where the original owner bears responsibility, Chayav, there the thief is obligated to compensate. My Taima, why is the thief obligated to compensate? Being 4 or 5? Karino Bey, Vigunav Mibay Soish. We refer to it as stolen from the owner's home, because the owner now is going to have to make good on the loss of that animal. So the owner is still considered an owner of it, and the theft therefore is a theft from him. Not v'sheinochai machriusan. However, those kind of sacrifices that the original owner won't bear responsibility for, potter, there is no multiple payments for the theft. We speak about multiple payments, that includes even the kefel, because the lo karina bay v'gunav mi bay soish, it's not referred to as having stolen from the original owner, being that he is no longer responsible for anything that happens to the animal. It's exclusively in the realm of hekdish. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading. Mosai Rabbi Shimon Mechayev Dalet Vehe Atavicha. When would Rabbi Shimon obligate 4 or 5 for slaughtering? Begonav Kochim V'tofchan, where he slaughtered sanctified animals and then slaughtered them. Yesh Litmodei, we have to deal Im Habaya with the question. When you slaughter something that's already been sanctified, the slaughtering is considered a slaughtering that's ein aruya, means it's not fit for your then eating of it. Rabbi Shimon has a principle that we've seen in the past that a shechita that doesn't lead to your being able to eat from it is not called shechita. Why is it important for something to be called, to be referred to as shechita? Because the Torah says, utvacho o mecharo. Tvicha means ritual slaughtering. We call shechita. The Torah calls it tovach. We call it shechita. But it has to be, according to Rav Shimon, in order to be called or termed shechita or tvicha, in order to be termed thusly, it has to be a shechita that's ru'uya. Slaughtering of a sanctified animal would not be a shechita that's ru'uya, that's fit for eating. Now, it's mashma from Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah that if a person stole kochim and slaughtered them, there is a chiyuv of dalet vehei. That's the impression you get from Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. So with that introduction in mind, Michti, let us look into this. Shaminon lei le Rabbi Shimon. We have heard Rabbi Shimon the Omar that says, Shechita sheina ru'uya lo shmo shechita. A shechita that's not fit, meaning not fit for your then eating of it, is not called shechita. Kochim nami, kochim that you slaughter outside the Beis HaMikdash, the thief, in the case we described, stole sanctified animal and then proceeded to slaughter it. But it's slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash, not me, is also shechita sheina ru'uya here. It's considered a shechita that's not fit. Not fit for your eating of it. So why is there a multiple payment for the shechita of it? Let us look at the Rashi in the lines under the Gemara text, about the fifth line under that Gemara text. Kochim nami shechita sheina ru'uya, the kochim anishchotim b'chutz psulim, sanctified animals that you slaughter b'chutz outside, namely outside the temple courtyard, are unfit. Umay taima de Rabbi Shimon the Omar kochim shechay b'chutz chayav. Why then does Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah speaks about kochim that the original owner is obligated to make good on, the mashma shim gonav kochim v'tofchon dechayav v'tashu meidal reil, which gives you the impression that if the thief stole sacrifices that the original owner has responsibility for, and then the thief proceeded to slaughter them, that there is an obligation of 4 or 5. So we turn now to the Gemara. We have a new geometric form, a house marking, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh, the structural note, we indicate that the house represents Shtei Deos B'Rebbe Yochanan. We'll be presenting Rabbi Yochanan first through Rav Dimi. Well, it says Ki Osa Rav Dimi, and then the second line from the bottom, you see Ki Osa Ravin. Both of them present Rabbi Yochanan. So let's see now in the Gemara, how is it that the slaughter of kochim result in a 4 or 5 payment? Ki Osa Rav Dimi on Rabbi Yochanan B'Shochet Tamimim Mibifnim L'Shem Bailim. The thief slaughtered, bifni means in the temple courtyard, the stolen sacrifice with the owner in mind, l'shem bailim. Well, that would be then what appears as a legitimate kosher type shechita. Oh, so the thief had stolen this animal that was sanctified by the owner and went into the Beis HaMikdash with it and slaughtered it with the owner in mind. Oh, that's a legitimate slaughtering. And as a result of that slaughtering, it appears to us you would be able to eat from it. So that's why there's 4 or 5. It's a shechita haru'uya. It's a fit kind of shechita. Question, Varei Chazra Karen Labailim. If that's the case, since it was slaughtered with the owner in mind, why is there at all a 4 or 5 payment? The Karen means the principal has returned to the owner. It's as if it's the owner's animal being sacrificed properly by the owner. What's the reason for any multiple payments if that were the scenario? Karen means the principal. The principal has been returned to the owner. Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Oven Shenishbach Hadam. The owner doesn't get benefit from it because the blood of the sacrifice spilled out before it was applied to the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result of that, the owner does not get the credit of having his sacrifice offered. However, and Rashi adds very importantly that at the time of the Shechita, though, it was a proper Shechita. And that is what obligates the thief to the multiple payments. As far as the principal value returning to the owner through his having had his sacrifice offered, not so, because an integral part of the acceptance of a sacrifice is the main part is the sprinkling, the application of the blood to the altar, and that did not take place. The blood spilled out. Ki osa ravin, Amar Rav Yochanan. We have a new marking. The bow tie is used to highlight Rav Yochanan and later Reish Lakish within Ravin. Reish Lakish, you'll see, appears at the top of Amud Beis. However, in the meantime, what does Ravin say in the name of Rav Yochanan? In explanation of the Mishnah, where Rav Shimon says that for the slaughtering of a stolen sacrifice, there's multiple payment. B'sheichet tamimim b'fnim shelo l'shem b'ilim. Rabbi Yochanan's approach is you slaughtered unblemished animals, means kosher sacrifices, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, however, without the owner in mind. What do we accomplish by this explanation? So since it was a slaughtering of an unblemished animal in the Beis HaMikdash, that's called a proper slaughtering. So as far as Rav Shimon is concerned, we can see why there's 4 or 5. As far as your question, what about the issue of the owner getting credit for the sacrifice and therefore Chazor Karen Lebailim? No, it was slaughtered without the owner in mind. It was Shelo Lishma. So even though the Shechita is kosher, the owner doesn't get credit. He has to make good on it. And therefore, it's not a case of Chozra Karen Labailim. The principle doesn't go back, just to repeat, because the owner is not getting credit for it. It was slaughtered without the owner in mind. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. For Reish Lakish Omar, Reish Lakish also, to explain Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, why for the slaughtering of a sanctified animal is there a 4 or 5 payment. B'shochi Balei Mumin Bachutz. The thief slaughtered the sacrificial animal, but it already developed a blemish. Once it develops a blemish, you can slaughter it, you have to slaughter it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, so you did a proper slaughtering of a sanctified animal. So now I understand why there is 4 or 5 according to Rabbi Shimon. Toi bo Rebbe Lazar. Toi, for our purposes, means he was he raised a question. He was amazed. He was stupefied, if you will. That might sound like a little extreme, but Rebbe Lazar has a problem, and his problem is in fact with both Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What is his problem? The Rebbe Yochanan shchito materes, v'lo zriko materes. Rebbe Yochanan spoke about the slaughtering of a sacrificial animal, unblemished, in the Beis HaMikdash. True, the owner didn't get credit for it because he did it Shelo Lishma, but the Shechita was real. It was a Shechita that would lead to the meat being eaten. But that's not true. Follow Zrika Materes, when you're dealing with sacrifices, it's not the Shechita that makes it allow for consumption, that it allows its consumption is being eaten. When you're dealing with sacrifices, you need to have the blood sprinkling. And at the time, therefore, of the slaughter itself, it wasn't a slaughtering that leads to eating, that through the act of slaughtering you can then eat it. You would have needed to do the blood sprinkling. So how can Rabbi Yochanan, with his explanation, account for the 4 or 5 according to Rabbi Shimon? It's not a shechita haruya l'achila. It's missing the sprinkling of the blood. That is what allows sacrificial meat to be consumed. The Reish Lakish, also Rebbe Lazar has a problem. Rebbe Shlokish set up the Shechitas Kodshim of Rabbi Shimon, referring to blemished animals. The thinking being that when you slaughter the blemished animal, you can then eat it. Shechita Materes, is that really so that the slaughtering allows it to be eaten? Falo Pedio Materes. It is the redemption that enables it to be eaten. Namely, when you have an animal that had been sanctified, it has its sanctity upon it. You need to redeem it before you can eat from it. So the slaughtering of the blemished sacrifice doesn't lead directly to its eating. An integral, an essential element is still missing, namely the redemption. The Gemara responds to Rebbe Lozer. Ishtamitze literally means it escaped him, or he forgot. That is Rebbe Lozer. It escaped Rebbe Lozer's attention. Ha de Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Shimon's own principle that appears elsewhere, but Rebbe Shimon's principle states Kol Oimed Lizrok Kezorok Domi, V'Kol Oimed Liftois Kepadui Domi. Things that are Oimed Lizrok, sacrifices that are ready to have their blood sprinkled. In our mind's eye, we view it as if the sprinkling has already taken place. In other words, the potential for it is considered as if it has taken place already. So that when you, as soon as you slaughter it, and the blood has been accumulated in the receiving vessel, it's considered as if done. So that it's not important when we speak about it becoming fit for eating for the actual sprinkling to take place. As long as it's that point in time arrives that you could have done the sprinkling, it's as good as done. Likewise, Kol Oimed Liftois Kepadui Domi, anything that is here to be, that's available for redemption, it's considered as if it's already redeemed. Let us look at Rashi on the second narrow line. V'chol oimed liftois v'chulei, things that are destined to be redeemed or ready to be redeemed. Ubalei mumin, blemished animals, kiptuyin damu, or as if they've been redeemed. Hoyel v'soifon lekach, since their end is redemption. And here Rashi adds a detail, but it's of great significance when trying to understand what we're talking about. Ubebale mumin meikoran askinon. We're talking about blemished animals that were blemished at the outset before they were sanctified. I guess it's obvious that this kind of animal will never be fit to be a sacrifice. You really shouldn't have sanctified it to begin with, but you did. The man sanctified an animal that was blemished at the outset, and that's not considered kodshei mizbeach. And as a result, they can be redeemed even after they are slaughtered. Animals that were sanctified in a proper way and then later developed a blemish, that's a different story. That in order to redeem them, the animal would still have to be alive. That's called hamoda varocha, stand up and be estimated, be evaluated, how much to redeem it for. After an animal is slaughtered, so it obviously can't stand up to be evaluated. However, we are not dealing with that scenario. We're dealing with, when Reish Lakish speaks about Baalei Mumin, we're talking about an animal that originally was a Baal Mum. It shouldn't have been sanctified, but he did. And it needs redemption. It can be redeemed even after it's slaughtered. So as far as we're concerned, the slaughtering is a slaughtering that does lead to its being eaten. You'll ask, what about the redemption? The redemption is as good as done. You notice we have diamonds that appear. We have a long bracketed section as well. And on the side of the Gemara, you notice we have a mivneh, the structural note. And this, we mentioned at the outset of our shir today, that today's shir, even though we're in a daf yomi context, it's going to overflow to include daf ayin zayin. Because here we have a discussion that continues to daf ayin zayin omid beis. The diamonds represent hesber, lishnei, Chelkei Atshuva, Lukushyas Rebbe Lozer, Al Ha Di Omru, Rebbe Yochanan Veresh Lakish. I should say more specifically on Lukushyas Rebbe Lozer, Al Ha Di Omar, Reish Lakish. On explanation for. I was right the first time. We need the explanation of. To explain the problem Reb Lozer raised against Reb Yochanan regarding the Shechita, isn't the Zrika Materes? And that was that will be explained in, under the first diamond. And then the second diamond, you can see two lines from the bottom, mentions Kol Oimei Liftois. So these two concepts will be explained now in the bracketed section. On the side of the other margin, we have a starred note, and we've written as follows. So, Grayim, the brackets go Ad Ayin Zayin Omid Beis. Very long brackets. However, you'll be surprised when you get to Ayin Zayin Omid Aleph. It's a very short daf of Gemara, only two lines. That a two-line Omid Gemara appears in, I believe, in Maseches Yuma as well, and maybe in one other place, but these are two places where you have very short Gemaras. Of course, Nazir Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis has no Gemara on it whatsoever. But the brackets, as we said, extend till Daf Ayin Zamed Beis, L'shem Dilug, for initial skipping purposes, Kidei Lafshir L'rois Miyad, in order to see immediately, by skipping the brackets, you'll see immediately Hadiyun, B'loma Kol Echad Loi Omar Kemo Hashemi. Why did each one, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whose names we've highlighted with bow ties, why did each one not say like the other? Within the brackets, as we explained before, the principles that the Gemara mentioned as a response to Rebbe Lazar will be featured. The sources, the background for each one of the principles will be expanded upon. If you initially do, like we suggested, the initial skip, we answered Rebbe Lozer's question. So we're left with the answers given by Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in explaining Rabbi Shimon, who in the mission, in order to speak of the slaughtering of a sanctified animal, to be considered a Shechita HaRe'uya. So if you go to Ayin Zayin Omid Beis, do you notice where the brackets end? Use your bracket length indicator, and you'll find yourself on the third line from the top of Ayin Zayin Omid Beis, where the Gemara says, Bishlamo Rabbi Yochanan Loma Kerebi Shimon Men Lokish. I understand why Rabbi Yochanan, who spoke about Shitas Tmimim Bifnim Shelo L'Shem Bailim, did not say like Reish Lokish. Dekaboi L'Ukma L'Masnisen Afil B'Tmimim. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to set up Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah as including even unblemished animals. Elo Reish Lokish, my time Elo Oma Kerebi Yochanan. Why did Reish Lokish choose maybe call it an odd case of slaughtering blemished animals outside the Beis HaMikdash? Why did he not say like Reb Yochanan? Amar Loch Utvachai Oy Mecharai. And at that point, the Gemara will go on with a long explanation. Mirtz Hashem will get back to that, but I just wanted to give you a flavor of the flow of the Gemara. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan have presented their answers. Their answers, as we say, stick. They're good answers in light of in the face of Rabbi Lozer's question. We answered Rabbi Lozer's questions. And then when you get to Ayin Zayin Beis, we're asking why did each one say like they did and not like the other. Now that we've mapped out the grand structure of the Gemara, let's go back to Ayin Vav Amid Beis, the brackets. Kol Oimed Lizroik Kezorug Domi, a korban, an animal that's slaughtered, the need for sprinkling the blood doesn't have to be actualized, since it could have been done. Since it's Omed Lizroik, it's considered as if it's been done. And therefore, we're using this, of course, as an explanation for why the Shechita is a Shechita Ruya. And we're not looking at it as missing the sprinkling stage. Desanya. So where do we get this idea from? And this the analysis that follows puts us into a whole new realm of thinking. We'll be dealing with the topic of sacrifices, and we'll say even leftover sacrificial meat, which we call nosar. Nosar is something that is strictly forbidden to eat. If meat of a sacrifice is left beyond the legitimate time that the Torah prescribes, so it becomes forbidden. It's called nosar, literally leftover. And you can't eat from it. It's prohibited. Nevertheless, we're going to see within this bracketed section, and by the way, I emphasize these principles of Koyomi Lizrok and Koyomi Liftos are both principles of Rabbi Shimon. So that's important because we're analyzing Rabbi Shimon's opinion regarding slaughtering of Kodshim. So the issue concerning the Nosar, that we'll see in this source, is Nosar and its ability to be subject to Tumas Oichlin. Tuma, that's characteristic of food. Food, when you hear that word, you imagine it's something you can eat. Here, I'll say either ironically or paradoxically, you're not going to be able to actually eat from it. But can it be classified as food in order to be included in the realm of food defilement? So, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Noisar Shu Metame Tumas Oichlin. There is Noisar that can be classified as within the realm of food defilement. Yesh Noisar Sheino Metame Tumas Oichlin. And there is Noisar that cannot be classified within the realm of food defilement. Ketzat, well, how do we explain these? We mentioned there were points 1 and 2. Lun literally means sleeping or resting, but it means staying over beyond the requisite time. When we speak about the requisite time, an animal that is slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, the slaughtering must be done by day, and the sprinkling of the blood must be done by day during the daytime hours. If it's not done during the daytime hours, it's the meat that was the animal that was slaughtered and left over till after nightfall. That is called lun. So leaving over till after nightfall, once again, is called lun for our discussion. So now lun, the sacrifice was lun lifnei zrika. Eino mitame tumas oichlin. Li'achar zrika mitame tumas oichlin. These terms are going to be defined now by the Gemara, so there's no sense in translating them. V'kaimolon my lifnei zrika. When you say as it being left over, lifnei zrika, we say it repels classification as food defilement, or it can't enter the realm of food defilement. What does lifnei zrika mean? Kodem shenira lizrika. That too is not clear. The Gemara will explain that in a moment, but it means before it became eligible for zrika. So if it's before it became eligible for zrika, so it can't be classified as something within the realm of eating. Li'achar zrika, when the source spoke about being lon li'achar zrika, what does that mean? It was lon li'achar shenira lizrika. It experienced lina, the passage into nighttime, however, after a time that it had been eligible for sprinkling. Kodem shenira lizrika my. Kodem shenira lizrika lon my. What do you mean by that? Before it became exposed to sprinkling, it already experienced lina. What is that? Lina means a passage into night. What are you talking about? Maihi. Now we get to speak in simple terms. Delohavyo sheus bayoim lemizrike. There wasn't enough time in the day to do the sprinkling. Deshachte somuch lishkiyas achama. You slaughtered it a moment before the setting of the sun. V'yeno metame tumas ochan. And as a result of that, you couldn't have done the zrika. It was impossible to have done the zrika, the sprinkling of the blood, because you slaughtered it so close to the setting of the sun, which is the cutoff point. That's what we say after the setting of the sun. You can't proceed with sacrificial activity, including the sprinkling. The achar shenira lizrika lon. What does that mean? That it was lon after it was near at lizrika. Dahav yesheus beyond the mizrike. There was enough time to have still sprinkled. You slaughtered it a half hour before the setting of the sun, or certainly earlier. So you had a plenty of time after the slaughter to go ahead and do the sprinkling. It was at the point of slaughtering, it became eligible for a realistic sprinkling. It was that's what we call near elizrika. There was time in day to do it. Lon means you never actually did it. And here we get to our point. This is the critical point. There was enough time to do it, but you didn't actually do it. That's what lon means. It stayed over beyond its requisite time, but you could have done the zrika, and as a result of that, it's metame tumas ochan. It becomes viewed as food and is eligible to absorb the tumas ochan, the food defilement. Alma, we see from this, namely from the classification as ochan, by the fact that you could have done the zrika even without doing it, that kala aimed lizrok kizorok domi, that which is fit for being sprinkled, is as if it's been done. By saying it is as if it's been done, we're saying then that the slaughtering of the sacrifice is all that's needed in order for it to become fit for eating. So, just to reiterate the main point, this entire discussion from the beginning of the brackets till now, you've seen we had called this number one, explaining Kala Oimei Lizro Kizorog Domi is a principle of Rebbe Shimon by virtue of that which he says that there's a situation of Nosar that could be termed as in the realm of Tumas Oichlin. And that was the case of something left over, it was beyond its requisite time, i.e., the Zrika was not done on time, but it could have been done. It could have been done. It's as good as done with regard to classifying it as Oichlin. And that's important for us to, in order to establish the idea that it's a Shechita of Kachim, is Shechita Haru'uya. It's a fit slaughtering, fit in the sense of it's fit to lead to the eating of the meat. It's a shechita that doesn't lack the zrika, because the zrika is as good as done. The second point that Rebbe Lozer had addressed within the shechita of Reish Lakish, how can the slaughtering of a blemished animal be a slaughtering that leads to its eating? Do you not have to do redemption? So we said, Kol Aimei Liftois Kepodei Domui. Desanya, where do we see that idea? And in order to see this, you'll notice we have to continue all the way through Ayin Zayin Aleph. That's a little bit of a sarcasm there, because Ayin Zayin Aleph is only two lines. But we continue till the third line from the top of Ayin Zayin Beis to see where do we see Kol Aimei Liftois Kepodei Domui. So we're going to cite a brisa in which Rebbe Shimon, which as we said before is important that we're dealing with Rebbe Shimon, he's the topic under discussion. Rebbe Shimon in the brisa deals with the Pora Aduma. The Pora Aduma is the red heifer which is used as part of the purification process for someone who had been defiled to the dead. So the red heifer is slaughtered on the Mount of Olives, facing the Beis Hamikdash, facing the eastern gate of the Beis Hamikdash. And after that animal is slaughtered, it is then burnt, and you use the ash in adding it to special water, water that you drew from a live spring. The ash water mixture is the paraduma method of purifying those defiled to the dead, which we don't have to. That's going into a realm beyond our discussion. What we're looking for is the issue of redemption. Where does redemption come into the picture? So we're going to be we'll be mentioning here a situation where the red heifer was slaughtered, and the red heifer, for our purposes, is, we'll say, in the realm of kachim. In the realm of kachim, technically speaking, it's not a real sacrifice, but so too, an animal that you sanctified as already blemished isn't a real sacrifice, but it's in the realm of that which has been sanctified. So we can talk about redemption. Items that are sanctified are subject or need to be redeemed from time to time. The red heifer under discussion involves one having slaughtered and ready to burn the red heifer. It's on the marocha, it's on the fireplace there on the Mount of Olives where all of this takes place. And lo and behold, before you burnt it, lo and behold, you found a nicer looking, higher quality red heifer. Oh, a better one. So, you know what? Let's redeem the red heifer that's already been processed. In other words, already been slaughtered and ready for burning. And redeem it. And we can then eat that and use the better one that we found. There is where the issue of redemption comes into the picture. Now let's get into the text to be more precise. We start the second line from the bottom of Ayin Vav Amid Beis. V'chala Omeg Liftos Kepodi Domi. That which is Omeg Liftos. It's there. It's eligible for redemption. It's considered as if it's already been redeemed. I didn't mention in my introduction here, we're going to repeat the idea that we're going to refer back to the concept of food defilement. Classifying something as food is of central importance for our discussion, so that when we spoke about the slaughtering of a blemished animal doesn't lead to its eating necessarily because it needs to be redeemed, if we can get the redemption issue out of the picture, as then we're back home safe. That the Shechita did lead to eating. What does Reb Shimon say? Reb Shimon Omer. We continue at the top of Daf Ayin Zayin. Pora is the cow, the red heifer, Pora Duma. Metame Tumas Oichlin. When you slaughter a Pora Duma, it enters the realm of food defilement. Emphasis on food. So what did you do? You slaughtered a red heifer. Oh, there it is. It's considered food. How is it considered food? Don't you have to burn it and use it for the paraduma, the purification process? Hail v'haisa lo shas akosher. There was a moment that paraduma was in the realm of food because shas akosher means it had the potential time for being eaten as soon as you slaughtered it. How is that? The Omar Reish Lakish. Interestingly enough, it's Reish Lakish, and our whole explanation is within the Tana Rabbi Shimon and Reish Lakish's explanation, and here Reish Lakish explains by the Paraduma. Oimer Hoya Rabbi Shimon Pora Niftes Al Gabi Marachosa. The Pora, the red heifer, could have been redeemed on its fireplace, meaning before you burnt it, it was then was a slaughtered red heifer. It could have been redeemed at that point. It could have been redeemed in the event that you found a nicer one. Alma, what do we see from here? What do we see from the fact that as soon as you slaughter the red heifer,
It's considered food. Did you redeem it in actuality? No. Could there have been a scenario where you would have redeemed it? Yes. So we see from here that that which is eligible to be redeemed is considered as if it has been redeemed. Rashi at the top, what was the fit time for being considered food for the poraduma? Even had the animal been slaughtered already on the where it's to be burnt in accordance with the law, if you found a better one, that was its fit time. Even if it wasn't actually redeemed, the slaughtering of it makes it the red heifer into food, because it could have been redeemed. Now let's continue in the Gemara. Bishlamo Reb Yochanan Lomer Ke Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. I understand Reb Yochanan, who spoke about unblemished sacrifices that were slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't explain Rabbi Shimon the way Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. Don't confuse, by the way, Reb Shimon Ben Lakish, which is that's Reish Lakish, that's an Amora, with the Tana Rabbi Shimon, whose Shita we're discussing. So I understand that Rabbi Yochanan didn't explain like Reish Lakish. The Kaboy Luukma Lemasnisen Afilu Bitmimim. He wanted to set up the Mishnah as referring to unblemished animals, and Rashi adds, and certainly in the case of Bale Mumen that were slaughtered outside, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to include even unblemished animals within the realm of Rabbi Shimon's point that you could be chayev for the slaughtering of kachim, four or five, even if it happened to be kachim that were unblemished, where you slaughter them, a proper slaughtering in the temple courtyard. Ela Reish Lakish, my time alama Reb Yochanan. Reish Lakish spoke specifically about Bale Mumin. Why did he not go the way, follow the Reb Yochanan path? Omar Loch. So Reish Lakish answers, you know why I didn't set it up as referring to Tmimim? The pasuk, after all, says utvachai ay mechara. The pasuk, which obligates the thief upon slaughtering or selling to pay 4 or 5, says either slaughtered or sold. And Reish Lakish presents the following theme or rule. Notice, by the way, this is a long answer. He says as follows: kolhecha de isay b'mechira isay b'tvicha. Wherever sale is a possibility, then under similar circumstances, slaughtering is a possibility. Possibility means to lead to 4 or 5. The cholhecha de lesei b'mechira, where the animal under discussion is not subject to a sale, lesei b'tvicha, so that very animal is then not subject to the type of slaughtering that would lead to 4 or 5. V'hani kachim, kachim tamimim, hayo d'chimazvin kachim lohavya mechira, lesnu b'tvicha. These kachim, namely kachim tamimim, if you try to sell them, it's not a sale. You can't sell kachim tamimim in order for them to, let's say, become chulin. Therefore, Reish Lakish had to speak in terms of blemished animals, so that the sale of tamimim, when you sell, let's say, an unblemished sacrifice, you might think you're transferring it to someone else's domain, but it's all within the realm of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a sale. It's holy. It belongs, from the point that it's sanctified, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So you can't sell something like that. Therefore, the slaughter of such an animal would not be considered a slaughtering that would lead to the payment of 4 or 5. Even though it's a slaughtering of kachim tamimim in the Azara, technically speaking, as a slaughtering that leads to eating, but it's not a slaughtering that comes under the Torah obligation of 4 or 5. V'ozdu l'tamayu. Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish that argued, as we saw. Let me add over here. According to Reish Lakish, in order for there to be 4 or 5, you need to have both elements as potential, namely the sale and the slaughtering. And therefore, if it's not subject to a sale, says Reish Lakish, it's not subject to the 4 or 5 of slaughtering. Do you need both characteristics in the stolen animal in order to lead to 4 or 5? Or maybe you don't need both characteristics. So according to Reish Lakish, you need to have both characteristics, i.e. subject to sale and subject to slaughtering. Otherwise, if it's subject to only one of them, no 4 or 5. Where do we see Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish arguing over that? The Itmar, Amoicher, Trefa, the Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Once again, we're staying within the realm of the Tana Rabbi Shimon. He is the opinion that said a shechita that's ain't a ruya, a shechita that doesn't lead to eating, is not considered a shechita. What about a thief that stole and then sold a trefa? Can you slaughter and eat a trefa? Absolutely not. Slaughtering a trefa is one of the prohibited items of eating in the Torah. Trefa is an animal that when you slaughter it, you discover some type of internal organ deficiency, or there are other situations. There are 18 different examples of trefa. We're not going to list them all, but slaughtering a trefa is the slaughtering of a creature that does not enable you to then go eat from it. By the way, when we speak about trefa, just parenthetically, trefa of the Torah is not the way we use the term trefa in a colloquial sense. And the common use of the word trefa refers to anything that's unkosher. But in the Torah, trefa is a word used to describe a specific situation of an anatomical deficiency that, based on an oral tradition, leads to the prohibition of eating the animal. Let us say someone stole a trefa and then sold it. So he stole and sold. According to Rabbi Shimon, what is the din? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayav. Rabbi Yoch says the thief has to pay 4 or 5 for the sale. Reish Lakish Omar Potter. The thief is exempt for having sold the stolen trefa. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayav. Afagab the lesse betvicha. He say b'mechira. Rabbi Yochanan says that the thief is obligated to pay 4 or 5, even though it can't be slaughtered. The slaughtering of a trefa does not lead to its eating. It nevertheless is subject to being sold. Reish Lakish Omar Potter, for the sale of a trefa, Rabbi Shimon would exempt the thief of the 4 or 5, kevan delesei betvicha, lesei b'mechira. Since it's not within the possibility of slaughtering, it's not within the realm of being sold. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. We have a long question. We also have the use of triangles that are helpful to follow the give and take structure of the Gemara, where the triangle point facing up represents questions on against Reish Lakish, and the inverted triangle will be responses. So we start with a question. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Gonav kilayim v'tovcha. Trefa u'mochra. Mishalem tashlume arba v'chamisha. The source speaks about the theft of, first, kilayim. What's kilayim? Kilayim is a mixed breed animal. How was it mixed? How did it take place? So you made it a sheep with a goat. That's the resultant animal is kilayim. It, by the way, is a kosher animal. It's not fit to be used as a sacrifice, but it's a kosher animal. So if a thief stole kilayim and slaughtered it, or another case, he stole a trefa and sold it. Note that the example by trefa is not one of slaughtering, it's one of selling. the result is the thief will pay 4 or 5. My lav, Rabbi Shimon he. Here we have an unnamed source, but it is it not Rabbi Shimon? By the fact that in this source, by trefa, the case of the stolen trefa, the only example that was cited was its sale. Its slaughtering wasn't mentioned. Who would make a distinction between slaughtering and selling? That the slaughtering would not lead to 4 or 5. That would be Rabbi Shimon. That would be a case of Shechita Sheina Ruya. So is it not so that you have an unnamed source, according to Rabbi Shimon, Almo afal gav de lesse betvicha? Here, with the case of the trefa, it's not, it's lesse, it's not within tvicha. It's not subject to the 4 or 5 of tvicha because it couldn't be eaten. Nevertheless, ise b'mechira, it's within the realm of sale. So we see, according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need to have the two as potential in order for Rabbi Shimon to say you're chayav 4 or 5, and that's a problem for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish before had said you need to have both. We said that as part of our explanation why Reish Lakish did not say like Rabbi Yochanan, who spoke about Kodshim Tamimim. Kodshim Tamimim were not subject to sale. As a result, Reish Lakish felt that they're not subject to Tevicha either, because you need to have both. Here we see that the very Rabbi Shimon that Reish Lakish was trying to explain says you don't need to have both. Omar Le Lo, Reish Lakish responds, not so, rather Rabbonon. The source you just cited is in accordance with the Rabbonon. And everything I had said earlier was within the Tana, Rabbi Shimon. This is according to the Rabbonon. E Rabbonon, we ask, Trefa b'mechira isa b'zvicha lesa. If you're within the realm of the Rabbonon, they don't have this idea of Shechita Haruya. The act of Shechita is enough, regardless of the result. If you do a proper act of Shechita, that's called Shechita according to the Rabbonon. So when it comes to the Trefa in the source, why is it featured as being subject only to sale and not to slaughtering? V'elomai. So we respond. Reish Lakish says back, what do you want to say? It's according to Rabbi Shimon. If this source is according to Rabbi Shimon, I still have a problem. You, Rabbi Yochanan, were raising a question on me with the assumption that the source was according to Rabbi Shimon. Well, let's check that out. So you want to say it's Rabbi Shimon. Kilayim. What about the beginning of the source? The Kilayim. But Tevicha, Isa, B'mechira, Lesa. Is Kilayim subject only to slaughtering and not to sale? Obviously, you can sell the Kilayim. So why did it choose only Tevicha? Elotona Tevicha, V'wadin L'mechira. The Tana spoke about Tevicha, but you can understand as well Mechira. Hey, Mole Rabbonanami. So even if we set the source up according to the Rabbonan, Tana Mechira, with regard to the Trefa, it teaches the example of Mechira. V'huadim L'Tevicha, the same thing would apply to slaughtering, that the slaughtering would lead to 4 or 5. The Rabbonan don't require a Shechita Ria. V'Rabbi Yochanan Omar Loch, Rabbi Yochanan, who insists that the source is according to Reb Shimon, how does he account for the choice of the specific examples of action respective of the specific types of animals? So Reb Shimon, Reb Yochanan Omar Loch, hi my, how are we to go here? E Amris Bishlama Rabbi Shimon, if you stick to my approach that the source is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, Aidi Ditona Trefa Bechada, since with regard to Trefa, it can teach only one example. It has no slaughtering within Rabbi Shimon. It has only Mechira. Tona Kilayim Bechada, so it taught with regard to the Kilayim also one example. Though, even though by Kilayim it's true there too, but for the sake of balance of source, since Trefa, there's only one, so by Kilayim it teaches one. Elo'i Amris Rabbonon, But if you were to go like Reish Lakish wants to say that the source is according to the Rabbanan, that Shechita Sheinu Ruya is considered Shechita, then Nirvinu v'nisninu, let the source have mixed together the two and taught thusly. Gonav kilayim utrefa. Someone stole either kilayim or a trefa. Tavchan umachran, and either slaughtered them or sold them. Mishalem tashlume arba v'chamisha. The 4 or 5 payment would be generated. That's what the source would have said had it been authored by the Rabbanon. But it doesn't say that. Kashya. So we leave off with a difficulty. A difficulty for Reish Lakish's explanation. You'll notice, interestingly, if you just follow the markings, the triangles, we started off with a triangle point facing up, and we end off this discussion not only with the last triangle happened to be a point facing up, but we end up with the word kashya, that in fact we leave this as a point of difficulty for Reish Lakish. Namely, we have a Tanaic source that seems to have been authored by Rebbe Shimon the Tana, and he does not require both Tvicha and Mechira in order to speak of 4 or 5. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was justified in using as his example of Genevas Kutchim as the slaughtering and the theft and slaughtering of Kutchim Tmimim in the Azorah, even though that could not have been sold. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.